But I would like to know that what you are promoting is something that you honor, that you actually think is good enough for you to try on your own. So I just think that that's also a part of sex ed and sex entertainment, is the detachment from how that intimacy is a part of our wellness, how intimacy is a huge part of how we, you know, our interpersonal relationships with others, our relationship to the world, our relationship to ourselves. And I think when we can start to see a more integrated model, then we would see like, yeah, it actually is a no-brainer that someone who has this role would also be interested in this role as well.
Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. On today's podcast, we have jet-setting Jasmine, an award-winning adult film director, entertainer, and master fetish trainer, joining us to talk everything about sex tapes. I am sure that you may have thought about it, have already created one, may not be for you, but this episode, we are diving into so many fun things all about how to make your own at home and how to do it safely. Jasmine is also a licensed psychotherapist and educator who uses her expertise in mental health to advocate for more inclusive and ethically sound adult entertainment industry. I'm so excited to have you here with me today, Jasmine. Let's go ahead and jump into everything here. So, Jasmine, I know that you are a therapist and you also work in this space of sex positive dominatrix. Correct?
Yeah, you got it.
And how do you like balance the two of those? Because, you know, in the world of therapy and having clients, what does that look like? Do you ever have any issues?
So I don't have issues, mostly because I am very, very upfront and forward facing about the work that I do. I'm one of few, maybe one or two therapists, licensed therapists that are open about their sex work and their involvement in the sex work industry. And I think one of the things that helps me really stand my ground, for lack of a better term, is that there is respectability politics, so to speak, in both of my jobs. They are both respectable industries where people's moral judgment may bleed over into either one. Some people think mental health folks are unethical and are a waste of time and a waste of money, unfortunately, and quite the same about sex work, right? So people's opinion doesn't necessarily sway where I stand legally in my work. They're both legal. They are both helping professions. They both require skill and talent. And the people who come to me in those capacities, we're really clear about what our boundaries are, what our goal is. We are really clear about where my role in their life, or their, whether it's entertainment or their counseling and therapy, starts and ends. So I think that part is really important, is that I don't hold shame and stigma for the work that I do, because I do understand both of them as two professions that people may have some very strong opinions about, but my job isn't to necessarily change their opinion. My job is to serve those who come and see me. Now, where things may get a little blurred or blended is folks say, like, are you ever concerned that your clients will know what you do? Well, my clients do know what I do. And we just make the decision that if that work at any time makes things difficult or challenging for them to be able to see me in the other capacity, that we will have a discussion about it. And we will, maybe we need to change directions. Maybe we need to change providers. Maybe we need to talk about what might make them uncomfortable, because the reality is we meet people with all different types of layers. And so we could actually use my actualization as a full human being operating in this world with all of my desires to do all the things that I want to do as an example of how you may interface someone whose existence poses a conflict or a confusion. And how can we work through that with respect and openness and solutions. I don't have to be your therapist, right? And so that is one area that's really important to me. And then also as a mom, it has been incredibly important for me to show my children that I am an individual first and foremost. You don't have to like everything that I do, but you do have to respect that I'm a person who is allowed to make decisions, good or bad for that matter, as long as I'm meeting my responsibility to you as a parent. So same thing with my children. There's boundaries. What do I have to do to care for you? What do I do because I care for you in a unique way? In my opinion, caring for you is showing you different examples of what a woman can be, different examples of how we can make decisions for our life, different ways that we can explore our sex, our sexuality, our relationship to others, and still have healthy interactions, have family, show up on time, all the things. So that's how I balance it.
I love that. And I love that you are like living your authentic self and that you are able to feel confident and to be confident in blending the two worlds. Because I know for me, that's an area that I've really struggled in as a PA in the medical profession. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then also, you know, talking about what I talk about. And there's always mm-hmm. this fear that a job is going to fire me or turn me down.
Right.
However, I've also come to the realization that I don't want to work somewhere if that's what their mentality is too.
Well, you know what? That has happened. Someone has tried to report me to my boards and reported me to my boss and the congressmen of Florida. And they went out of their way to just prove my point. This is legal work. I am an adult consenting to doing adult things in adult spaces. It didn't change my performance review, you know, as an employee. Like I was, you know, like it did not have any bearing. Did it feel like a violation? Absolutely. Did I feel incredibly vulnerable? Absolutely. Was I terrified of how this would have an impact on me, my family, my livelihood? Yes. But at the end of the day, those same principles, am I doing ethical work in all areas? Am I upholding my boards? Am I upholding the oath that I've taken as a clinical psychotherapist? Yes, 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 yes. So, you know, and the other thing too is how do we look at sex? Like as a PA, it's like, is it wellness? Yeah. Then you are promoting an aspect of the work that you already do. As a therapist, I'm sorry, I do want to see someone who is actualizing their goals. You know, we don't have to talk about it. But I would like to know that what you are promoting is something that you honor, that you actually think is good enough for you to try on your own. So I just think that that's also a part of sex ed and sex entertainment is the detachment from how that intimacy is a part of our wellness, how intimacy is a huge part of how we are in personal relationships with others, our relationship to the world, our relationship to ourselves. And I think when we can start to see a more integrated model, then we would see like, yeah, it actually is a no-brainer that someone who has this role would also be interested in this role as well.
Yeah. And like you said, sex is a huge part of our health mm-hmm. and connection and our mental health. All of that is all tied together. And yet, you know, it's really this huge stigma that we all, I don't want to say we all, but many of us have carried on for generations. And that is what we have been taught for most of us. And until you unlearn that and change your thinking about how all of these parts are connected and they're not something to look negatively at and mm-hmm. really embrace our sexual sides, you just don't know. So I would love to get into the meat of our episode here. And so I think that sex tapes is something that so many people are interested in. Either they're interested in, have done it, curious about it. And there's also a little bit of what could happen if it leaks potentially. You know, you've got Kim Kardashian and Ray J. I don't know if that was a leak or not, or if that was on purpose. You look at, I just saw a Netflix show. I can't think of her name. Pamela Anderson. Mm-hmm. Her sex tape was leaked. Mm-hmm. Things like that. So I want to jump right into making a sex tape. How do you approach this with your partner?
So thinking about making a sex tape, so many things come to mind. The first thing that comes to mind is we do have to consider the fact that not everyone is going to protect our privacy in the same way that we may want to. So really negotiating. I think sometimes we send in pictures or we share, you know, videos or jump on a FaceTime and maybe get a little hot and heavy or flirty or what have you with folks, not really thinking about the consequences, because those are definitely like, those are spontaneous moments oftentimes. And so I think before we even make any type of recording or do any type of virtual play, we sit with ourselves and sort of think about, you know, this is a possibility that this thing that I really would love to do may find itself outside of the cloud, right? And onto someone else's screen that I don't want them to see. And I think that is a real fear. We see things about revenge porn, right? All the time. We see things end up in the wrong hands. And I think that's a real fear. And I think anyone that you may be willing to film with or to share content with, if they don't validate that that's a real fear, that is a red flag, right? So I always tell folks, if you're going to engage in any type of recorded media with someone, so I say that because it can be just like a live, you and I having a little moment here and one of us is recording the screen, or I share a little video with you of just me by myself, right? And you are careless with your phone and your mom picks up your phone and is like, oh my gosh, right? Or my kids pick up my phone or, you know, something, or I'm texting and texting too fast and I accidentally send your video to the last person I was messaging with. So I think some of these things that are just like inherently just, they're just mishaps. This is not even like intentional mishaps. I think that it's okay for us to have those concerns and like to sit with them for a moment so that we can make the distinction between, I want to do this. This is a desire I have. This makes me feel hot. This makes me feel excited, but this is scary, right? So the sharing it and it getting somewhere is scary, not the actual act of being an exhibitionist or a voyeur. And when we make the separation, then we don't have to say like, no, it's totally out. We can say, we can do it, but we got to be careful about it. And whoever we're engaging with, whether it's the partner that's going to be in this with you or the partners or who you're going to share it with, if they are not meeting you with the reality of those fears, then that's probably not the person that you want to engage with. So I think from that first perspective. Second, I'd look at like, okay, so what are the boundaries with this? Okay, I'm going to send it to you and we promise me you will delete it. If you want it again, I'll send it again, but I just don't want it just sitting on your phone. Okay.
I love that tip.
Awesome. Right? Because that is like, I get it. Like why you want to save it, why you want to refer back to it, but it would make me feel so much better if it's just not like hanging out in your inbox for the accidents that I talked about. And I like the idea of you asking for it. So I know you're thinking about it, right? I want you to come back.
That's so hot.
I want you to come back in my store and order that clip, right? That we did together. So that's an option. The other thing that some folks do is I have a couple absolutely adore how much fun they have with being exhibitionists. They have a vault. That's what they call it, the vault. It's where they film their things, they put it on a drive, and they take it off of their devices. And it's something that they actually like go and access whenever they want to watch it or share it or what have you. So they have a plan of like, we do the thing. And the next day we store it. We have a safekeeping for it. And I think also when you're doing it that way, there's no confusion of like, how did it end up here? How did it end up like with the Pam and Tommy story? It's pretty clear. Someone specifically went in and violated their trust. And so when things like that happen, I mean, it's like, you hope that never happens, but if it does, you want to be able to clearly point that finger and clearly assign whatever type of punishment or consequences that person has coming toward, you know, to them. So those are just some of the areas around safety that I think are practical. And then once you and your partner have your boundaries, right, or your ideas of how you're going to safeguard this material, where it can or cannot go, then I think that's when you start to see like, the inhibitions, because now we've separated the fear. We actually have a plan. Now we can actually do the desire. And that's when we start getting to the real fun stuff.
Yeah. And the planning of the tape and like, what are we going to do? And how are we going to set the scene? Yes. What are some of the benefits of creating a sex tape for your sex life?
Yeah. So there are so many. I think I'll share a little personal story. The first time I created a sex tape with a partner, which, okay, so here's a fun fact. It was a video recording. That's how old it was. It was on there's a little micro VHS tape of it or whatever. And we put it in storage when we moved from one state to another. And life happened. I lapsed on paying that storage. And so it's somewhere in storage.
Oh my goodness.
See, this is the thing, right? Like having a plan. Where did the tape goes, where we go, but it didn't. It, you know, it got lost in the shuffle. So someone's out there has like a classic scene. I'd love it back. But I remember doing that the very first time, because this was something that he was interested in doing. And I didn't really have a connection to this activity at the time. But I remember watching it back and going, oh, that's okay. Okay, I can... That's what you see. I remember it feeling like an outer body experience almost, and it made me actually feel more connected to my sex than I had felt physically being in it, where sometimes we could be in our heads about something. Sometimes we could just be so even in the moment that we're seeing this one perspective. And then when you see yourself in a videotape, you're getting like a totally different perspective. Fast forward, my partner now, King, and I decided to have our submissive film us on a relaxing staycation, I guess, if you will, at a hotel. And I was able to see it was early in the morning. There was no makeup. There was no heels. There was no lingerie. It was just sort of like, hey, get the camera, film us. And seeing that back, I realized what was missing from my own sex entertainment and even my sort of sex toolkit. I was just like, oh, like softness, not performative. Like this is what you look like when you're in the moment. This is what his body looks like from behind. So it was like also another opportunity for me to feel that sexual experience by watching it. So it's like, okay, I know what that feels like when I'm looking at him. That's what it looks like from her perspective. And I can feel those motions in like a different way. It really enhanced us having sex thereafter, because I was able to visualize and fantasize something outside of what I had, you know, this sort of frontal view of. It's the reason why we love mirrors, right? When you go to Hedo, they have mirrors on the ceiling. Or
yes, we do. In
my bedroom, we have mirrors all over the place. So yeah, I think that is definitely a benefit. The other thing too is, you know, porn is a huge industry. People definitely use it to be inspired, turned on, to have different fantasies play out, to see things that may not be available to them in the moment, but they want to be able to like quickly craft, like quickly get into that mode. And so there's nothing wrong with creating your own. And I know for some couples, porn is a boundary. Like that is, for some folks, watching porn or watching other people be sexually explicit is what they may consider cheating for their relationship. And that's okay. Maybe this is a negotiation tip within that relationship where it's like, okay, if it's not all right for us to watch other people, is it okay for us to create a vault of our own material? So that way, you know, when you're not feeling up to it, I have something that I can watch when you're out of town or when you're at work, or I just want to show you other ways that my body gets turned on. So maybe even mutual masturbation or masturbation clips. So that way you can have sort of this experience with your partner, even when they are not next to you. And it's a way that respects the value of sexual entertainment without necessarily including other people.
I love that suggestion. And I think that that's a really, really good tool to utilize if porn is a boundary for you in your relationship, because not everybody enjoys watching porn, doesn't necessarily enjoy watching their own sex tape, but sometimes you also don't know until you try.
That part. And, yeah.
Yes. The other thing that kind of came to mind for me as far as like a benefit of creating sex tapes is if you're in a long distance relationship, you know, and if you don't have or maybe busy lives, like you had mentioned, like going into your vault and being able to say, like, tell your partner, ooh, I was watching us do X, Y, and Z. Like, that can be really attractive too. And yeah, like, I found it really great for long distance relationships personally.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree. And it also helps with when folks talk about like dirty talk, you know, like, what do we talk about? How can I keep things engaging? Well, it's like awesome when you can just describe what you're seeing, right? Or reliving the moment. It's like watching a good movie and checking out like, oh yeah, that's such a good line. Like, oh, do you remember when, right? So I think there's a lot of really cool ways that we can use our own self-tapes as a tool to be able to start conversation, to sort of enhance foreplay. And then the other thing too is the experience of filming in itself can be so much fun. It can be so much fun. The phone falling off the tripod, the trying to get the angle, you thinking you're doing it, and then you watch it back and your head is cut off, like all of that. Like it's just it's an experience in and of itself. It's a project that you and your partner are working on together. I love when I have couples that are using some of these tools and they come and they report back what a fail it was, but they're always cracking up, right? And so you're like, I see communication is happening here, right? Being able to work on something together. And if it doesn't turn out how you expected it to turn out, what did happen that we can pull from? And then they try again and they get better at it. And then they add lighting and then they add, you know, like all of this other fun stuff. So it's really cute.
Are you ready to start understanding yourself better, learning and recognizing your patterns, and really develop a relationship with yourself? If this sounds like you, the Unleashing My Power, a Women's Empowerment and Gratitude Journal is for you. This journal was specifically curated for women just like you to help you take back your power and develop and go to the next level in life. My friend Danielle and I created this journal because of our own experiences and what we were looking for in a daily practice to improve our connection to self and really become connected with ourselves. This is game changing, and the feedback that we are getting from other women who have started using this journal is absolutely amazing. You can find it on Amazon or you can go to jordandanelle.com/journal and it'll take you right there. I hope you enjoy. Be sure to go snag yours right away and leave me a review. Tell us what you think about it. Slide in the DMs. I know that your life will change when you start using this journal. I love that you brought it up as a tool for communicating. And I think that that is actually a great idea to help have more conversations about sex and pleasure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can play it back and be like, oh, you know, we tried this new thing. What did you think of that? And use it as like a tool to have better sex in your relationship too.
One of the fun things that we do with others when we do film screenings is we do a game called Pornioki. And this is something like if you are porn watchers, like have this fun. If you're not porn watchers, but you have your own personal stash, have this fun. We bring the audience up. We turn the sound off of the film and we allow the audience to do the lines and to just describe, like they'll take a role and they'll take the other person's role or all three. If it's a group scene, we get a group up there. And it is so cool to listen to the commentary. Because what you find out is that people recognize things that perhaps you don't. So someone will say, oh yeah, right there, the arch of my foot. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know anybody was touching my foot at that point, right? So I'm learning like, oh, like that's an area of pleasure for you. Or, oh, you know, they'll say something like, oh, I love when you pull my hair like that. And so I'm like, okay, this person is observing and they're sharing based on what they're seeing.
So this game, I love the idea of that game. And I feel like my girlfriends and I on one of our game nights are totally going to have to play that, because I think that would be so like just fun, like create our own narrative to the story of what's happening. I mean, sometimes you do that when you're out in public, right? And you see like a something happening and you just are like, oh, she's walking out because he said this, and you create the story.
That's right.
And so I love that. You had brought up setup as far as like the camera, like do you hold it? Do you recommend putting it in a tripod? Like what are your favorite angles and views? Any tips for somebody wanting to record?
Yeah. So, you know, I would say if this is your first time out the gate, don't overthink it, especially if you're not fully okay with where it's going to live, how we talked about some of the trepidations that might be associated with filming. I say hold it, because then you're super close. You're not getting that sort of full body identification going on there, right? So that might just, I mean, it may really be cool just to see, you know, genitalia rubbing together or hip thrusts, like, you know, something that is still unidentifiable and for a short time only, right? So just to sort of get comfortable with what that feels like, and then being able to look back at it and going like, oh, okay, that was hot. I really wonder what that would look like a little further away. If you're like, I'm game, I got the partner that I want, I got the trust, I got the boundaries, I'm down for it, I definitely say like a tripod or just something like my bookshelf, like something that I could just set my phone up and let it roll out. The reason why I say a tripod and having it a little bit further is because that's the perspective we don't get to see. You know, we don't really get to see our partner's bodies at a distance to really have that sort of voyeur experience, right? So I think that that could be a lot of fun. I often suggest that my vulva owners grab the phone when our partners are actually going down on us, because we often don't get to see that in sex entertainment. It's off usually having oral sex on a penis holder. We rarely get to see that real up close and personal. The enjoyment that we actually have in real life sex doesn't always translate into our entertainment. So those are some of the angles that I think are a lot of fun. I also think that facial expressions are really awesome as well. So sort of thinking, even if I am going to pull out the camera, because I want to see from head to toe, I want to see when your head goes back, or, you know, when your eyes squint, or what, all of those things that sometimes we miss in sex entertainment, in porn specifically. So those are, you know, if you're going to hold the camera, like definitely have that, like looking down, that feeling, as well as the wide. Now, one of the tips that my partner and I use when we're doing any type of filming, self-filming, is, and this might be too technical, but it's fun for us, and we also are directors and film folks. We set a timer. We do like 10 or 15 minute timer, and then we go get the camera and we put it in another position. And so that way, when we're done, we could just like edit three different, or four, whatever. And a lot of times it's like, you know, we'll start and then we'll just like, okay, just forget the camera. And that in itself, where we end is also a really interesting part, because that's like, oh, things got really serious right here. What was going on that you were just like, I don't care about the camera, just keep going. And so that's a lot of fun. So we'll set like a couple of 10 to 15 minute timers, and then we'll just like stop, laugh it off. Again, there's that communication. Okay, what angle do we want to get next? Well, I want to hold it. Okay, well, if you're going to hold it, then I'm going to do this. Okay. And that type of thing. So it can be a lot of fun. It might be not spontaneous enough for some people, but for those that are looking for a finished product, that could be really cool.
With like iPhones and our technology these days, like it is so easy to make it multiple clips, shorten them, put them all together to literally create a whole home video.
Yeah, that's right. I was about to share with you like some lighting tips, right? So for folks that maybe don't feel so comfortable having like a bright ring light on them, or it takes away from their mood, candles, and then you could see a beautiful silhouette, right? So just sort of thinking about ways that you can play with things that we already enjoy using to set the mood and just enhance. So having candles, it doesn't have to be super bright and clinical, which honestly, that's something that we gain so much like 4K clarity with porn that it can sometimes become shocking and clinical and and like lose some of the chemistry that mood lighting can set. And like, I totally understand. We do that so that the viewer can really see what's happening. This is like studio level quality. But for your home film, where you actually can like smell it, see it, you know what it feels like, to have some allure in the video is, I don't think we lose anything when we do some things that are like silhouetted or even dim lighting, not necessarily sharp contrast. For other folks, like lighting is really inexpensive now. So getting like a $20 or $30, even if you get like a $20 or $30 ring light and get some gels, so that way you can create ambiance. And I think that could be really a lot of fun.
Yeah. The thing that comes to mind for me is like daylight. So, mm-hmm. you know, right now you can see like the amount of daylight that I have in my room. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's also a perfect way to do lighting in a non-clinical setting, is just make your video during the day.
Love that. Love that. That video that I was telling you that I made with King in the hotel, it was early in the morning and it just had like this like perfect, I don't know, like the sunlight through the curtains, and it just created such, in my opinion, such a beautiful feel to our skin. And it also set that mood.
Yeah. So I had a question. You had used these words earlier in the podcast, and I would love to define them: exhibitionist and voyeur. Mm-hmm. So I am familiar with these terms, but I'd love for you to go ahead and define them for the audience, because there might be some listeners who have not heard of these words before.
Absolutely. So an exhibitionist is someone who is sexually turned on at the idea of showcasing their sex act. And this is, we're always talking on this podcast, and anytime you're talking to me, about consensual exhibitionism, right? So for the sake of this conversation, we are talking about someone who is turned on by consensually sharing themselves visually to others. And that could be with solo masturbation. It can be with an audience, a live audience. It could be a FaceTime sharing photos. And many of us have more of an exhibitionist streak than we would probably label, just sort of thinking about some of our behaviors with social media, right? You know, sharing a sexy or a good looking picture and receiving positive feedback. And if that like gives you endorphins, then you probably know exactly what I'm talking about if we turned it up a notch and did it in a sexy way. The other term was voyeur or voyeuristic or voyeurism. It is those that are turned on by watching others have sex or participate in sexual activity. So it may not necessarily be a full-on sex scene. It may be watching someone put lotion on or someone touch their skin in a particular way. It is arousing to watch, to be a voyeur. You do not have to participate. Just having your eyes on someone doing something that is sexy or sexual gives you a turn on. And again, that is also consensual. We are not bigging up peeping toms. That is not okay. We are solely talking about the invitation to watch.
I love that you brought up consent, because I think that consent is a really important topic that needs to be talked about more. And it's also one of those areas where there's not really any gray. However, there tends to be gray when talking about consent. It is very black and white. Either you have consent or you don't. But for some reason, there's still that gray area, if that makes any sense.
Yep, it does. It does. And we are getting there. I think the gray area is understanding how we get that consent. I think sometimes folks are relying on social cues that may or may not be there, and then deciding somewhere along the line that consent was actually received. So I always say we want to negotiate consent, and we actually want to obtain it. And I think sometimes we can think in our negotiation we've obtained it, but actually we haven't.
Yeah. I know that there was this one partner I was with, and it was so sexy when he asked me specifically, "Can I fuck you?" And it was so hot in explicitly asking for consent right before. And I've had multiple sexual partners in my lifetime, and only once has anybody ever asked that.
Wow. Wow.
So, and I think that's so common.
It is. It is. Well, and when we think about messaging, right, our messaging is that you will know. And it's like, no, you won't. Asking is the only way you will know, or this implied you should know. And it's like, no, they should not know. They should ask, and you should then communicate your response back.
And just because genitalia are aroused does not mean that there is any, that does not give consent.
Absolutely not.
You had brought up, you know, your client who stores their tapes in a vault. For those of us who are maybe using phones or some other, I guess let's stick with phones. Do you have any like apps that you recommend or any ways of securing it on a phone?
So there are some that are out there. I will tell you that I have not tried them. The only one that I am currently like stand behind is the business Dropbox, because it's like password protected. You can see all of the activity of like who signed in from what IP address, what time did they sign in? Did anyone transfer a file to? This is a sex worker in me that has to protect our product, right? But I'll also look at it for practical ways that couples can use it. It's just like, you know, it's one thing, it's already password protected, has a two-step authenticator. So you get an email if someone is trying to access and it needs to send a code, like all that kind of stuff. And then if you're curious about like who's accessed the file or when and from where, that it gives you a really nice diary or you know, entry of that. So I like Dropbox for that reason. Other folks will, you know, swear by other things or even a hidden album. It's all the cloud. So everything has some type of risk factors to it. And I think that part is important. And I guess I would suggest that whatever you decide, that you both are in agreement with it, right? Because if someone says, oh no, you told me it just can't be on my phone. But is your computer okay? Is your cloud okay? Is Dropbox versus Google okay? You know, that type of thing. And also we have to be super careful where we store things based on their terms of service, right? So I believe, like, for example, Google, they don't allow certain types of content to be stored on their platform. So we want to actually make sure that we're law abiding and that we're being careful. And then also making the distinction what some things are attached to if you're going to sell it versus if it's just for personal use. So we just want to be super careful. For those of us that are parents, we also want to make sure that we're making a clear distinction where our sexy, explicit content goes and where our children's content goes, because those things should not live in the same space for a number of reasons, but so that you're not sort of tied up in anything that you did not intend by having sort of a mix of that kind of content along with, like, you know, your family album and that type of stuff.
Yeah. Because I know children love to do this. They just start scrolling and next thing you know, it might pop up.
Exactly.
Well, Jasmine, this has been such an amazing conversation, and I really appreciate you coming to share your tips and advice on making a sex tape. If the listeners take one thing away from today's conversation, what would you want it to be?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I think although we talked about some really, really super cool practical stuff, the clinician in me is like, make sure you're clear what is desire and what is fear-based, right? And the two we can pull those two apart, and we can honor your desires around creating a sex tape. And we can validate some of your fears and concerns about where that sex tape might live or some of the potential consequences that are associated. And we can make a plan around those so that way you can safely explore this idea of exhibitionism and voyeurism. So for those that are listening and the whole time, they were like, I would, but let's explore the butt, literally. Let's explore it. Let's create an opportunity for you to engage in all of this fun, yummy stuff that is totally rightfully yours as a consenting adult, right? But in a way that allows you to feel safe to really let those inhibitions go and enjoy what technology has to offer our sex life. I'm all about sex tech.
Yes, yes. I love that. Where can the listeners find you at?
I am properly shadow banned on all social media at Jet Setting Jasmine. On Instagram, Jet Setting Jasmine. I'm on Twitter as Jet Set Jasmine. You can find all of my work at jetsettingjasmine.com, including our professional films at royalfetishxxx.com.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing where we can find your professional films at, because I was definitely going to ask you about that. And I am familiar with Royal Fetish, XXX.com. Now, my question for you, where did Jet Setting Jasmine come from?
That is a great question. So I'll tell you where it came from and I'll tell you what it is now, because nothing stays the same if it's any good. So originally, when I started just exploring sex and sexuality publicly for the world to engage in my journey and take what they wanted from it, I started on a podcast. I was on this podcast called The Emotion Picture as a guest host. And my middle name is Jasmine. And they told me, like, come up with a name. And I was like, oh gosh, I need to come up with a name that I'll actually answer to if you call my name. So I was like, okay, Jasmine. And I was working at the time for one of the larger government agencies and flying around from hospital to hospital doing program management reviews. And so every Wednesday night, I was in a different city. And so after work, I'd do the whole 9-to-5 thing like we talked about earlier. And then I would get on this podcast and talk about sex just like you. And the co-host, Victorious, says, oh, what city are you in now? And I was like, whatever city. He's like, oh, Jet Setting Jasmine. I was like, oh, I like that. I want to manifest jet setting as part of my life. Like, I want that. And sure enough, my sex adventures have taken me all around the world and out of this universe sometimes. Right. So I just sort of kept that moniker as a way of like ways that I can experience pleasure and explore sex and just like all the things that I want in a way that is international. And where it is now, it really is about ascending, elevating. It's like jet setting means you're flying, you're elevating. And that really has been it for me. It really has been how is my work, how I show up personally, professionally, spiritually, financially, all the things. Elevation, elevate, elevate, elevate. So that's where jet setting Jasmine, what it means to me now.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. And thank you so much for recording with me.
Thank you.
This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.